Welcome, Voltron fans. This is Mark Morrell, your host for Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. And I'm here this week with my co-host, Greg Tyler.
Hello, Mark. Hello, fellow Voltron fans. It's great to be back as always.
How you doing, Greg?
I am doing wonderfully. How about you?
I'm doing even better since some of these new Playmates toys have shown up.
Oh, yeah. I still have not seen them in any stores near me. But we have some things to say about those toys later in this podcast, don't we?
Right. And I still haven't seen any of these toys near me either. But we keep on getting reports all over the country about some of the Toys R Us stores actually having some of these toys, right?
Yeah. Seemingly starting on the West Coast and moving eastward, all you know, which makes sense since they're manufactured on the other side of the Atlantic. But I have noticed that, you know, I'm in Ohio and our friend Mark Oliver lives in the Cleveland area, and he had reported a Toys R Us in Brunswick, Ohio, having them several days ago. I don't know of any in the Cincinnati or Columbus or Dayton areas that have them, but it's cool that at least some stores in the Buckeye State have them. Most of the sightings that I've heard from seem to be in stores based in California. How about you?
Well, I'd have to agree with that, but I think one particular sighting close to me was in Reading, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour and a half away from me.
Okay. I had heard of an Evansville, Indiana store having them as well. But I will also report that December 1st, the Voltron store opened these up to pre-order. And I know that you had pre-ordered some, I had pre-ordered some, and some many other people had as well. And I believe my shipment, we're recording this on December 18th. I think my shipment should arrive, I hope, tomorrow night. And I ordered the full set of all five of the Legendary Lions. So I look forward to playing with those things and, of course, reviewing them for the podcast YouTube channel.
Just in time for Christmas.
Oh, yes.
We will start doing some reviews of these toys. In fact, we have an interview scheduled for this podcast that's going to be coming up next. But after that, we will be talking about some of these toys that we actually have with us right now.
Yes.
And then you will actually get to see some of our video reviews later.
Yes, yes.
So those will be available on our YouTube channel, and we'll talk about that later as well.
Yes, we will. And let's just say very quickly, these toys are awesome.
Yes. I mean, it's a wonderful line of toys, and we'll get all into that. But we have a very, very important special guest with us today.
Yes, I love hearing from everyone and anyone who's working on Voltron Legendary Defender, but I'm really excited that we're able to speak with someone who has helped paint the visuals that we've all come to enjoy in this new series. You know, it's, you know, typically we think of, when we think of a show, we think, wow, we really love this voice actor or that voice actor or maybe the show's writers. But, you know, there's so much design work that goes into an animated series like Voltron Legendary Defender. And we have one of the more prominent designers in this episode. And this is such a cool thing.
Right. So for those of you, like I remember in our last episode, this was our third anniversary show where we had Zilla and Sarah. Zilla had actually requested that in 2017, we bring on some of the people from the DreamWorks Animation crew and actually talk about some of the visual and the artistry and all that kind of stuff. So we're actually getting that right after our third anniversary show.
Yes. So cool.
All right, so without further ado, here we go.
Let's do it.
Well, Greg, we have on the podcast for the first time ever somebody from DreamWorks Animation who works on the visual side.
I am thrilled to have her on. In my past life, when I was a prolific author of a Star Trek fan website called TrekPlace.com, back in 2005, I got to interview face-to-face a visual designer for Star Trek The Next Generation, Mr. Andrew Probert. So I've long been interested in the people who make the visual world that we get to enjoy on our television screens. And to have this guest on from Voltron Legendary Defender is amazing to me.
All right, so we're going to bring her on right now. This is somebody who also worked on The Legend of Korra, and also now works on Voltron Legendary Defender as the background and prop design supervisor. So everyone give a warm welcome to Christine Bion.
Hey, Mark and Greg, and hello to all the Voltron fans out there. It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you guys so much for having me on your podcast.
Oh, thank you for being here, Christine.
It's a thrill to have you here. I mentioned all that stuff about my interviewing a Star Trek person a while back, you know, some 10 years ago. The reason I wanted to mention that is because I love getting to interact with anyone who has worked in any capacity on a favorite television program. But among my favorite people to get to read about or chat with when I'm lucky to do so are the people who paint the pictures that you see on your TV. And I don't mean literally with paint and canvas, but you know, to build the visual world that we get to enjoy. And so it's such a privilege to have you on. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. That's like the nicest thing I've ever heard. And honestly, it's really my honor to be on here. I've listened to your guys' podcast before, and I just love that you guys love Voltron so much and you're doing it for the fans. And yeah, I'm totally stoked to be here.
And they are really excited to hear about some of the workings of the behind-the-scenes work that gets done on Voltron Legendary Defender from the visual side, because you are the very first one that we've ever had from the animation side.
Woo! Yay! Awesome! This is also my first ever podcast, so yeah, kind of fitting.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I'm the background and prop design supervisor, like you mentioned, on Voltron, which basically means that I help in the creation of the artwork that defines the look and feel of the show, as well as kind of overseeing the other artists in my department to make sure all the visuals are kind of falling within the guidelines, the style of our show. It's weird, but technically, like, Voltron and the Lions fall under the quote-unquote prop heading. We have a character design supervisor who helps create all the incredible 2D characters in our show. She actually sits right next to me at work. She's the best. Her name is Christy, which isn't confusing ever. Christy and Christine, I know. So shout out to Christy if you're listening.
Yay, Christy.
Yes, hello. So how did you get involved in the animation industry?
That's a great question. I kind of always wanted to do animation. I mean, you know, when I was a little kid, I loved to draw. And, you know, I grew up watching Disney movies, you know, animated TV, like X-Men every Saturday morning. I went through like a Gargoyles phase, you know, Batman
love
animated
Gargoyles.
Series. I know, Gargoyles is so good. I love those old series. And so when I graduated from college, I moved down here to California to kind of pursue a job more, you know, in kind of professional entertainment work. I went to this great school in Pasadena to learn some of the stuff that I didn't learn in college, which is like, you know, Photoshop and, you know, basic kind of like design stuff. And then I was really lucky. My first job in animation was doing prop design on The Legend of Korra, which was, you know, a great experience.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's where I met Joaquin, Lauren, Ryu, and actually a lot of the other guys that we work with in-house are also from The Legend of Korra crew. So we all rolled over, you know, we all worked really well together and we were friends. So we were really fortunate in that way.
Very cool.
That's great. So you basically were brought into Voltron through your connections that you had made while working on Legend of Korra, right?
Yeah. Okay. I remember, actually, I think it was my producer who, when we were still working back at Legend of Korra, I remember one day I got a call to go into my current producer, my current producer's office. He was doing like a kind of managerial position then on Korra. But anyways, I went in there and he was like, how would you feel about working on Voltron? And I literally think that I jumped up and like knocked a stack of napkins off his desk or something like that. I was so pumped. I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Oh my gosh. Like, I would love to, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, of course he was like, yeah. And, you know, don't tell anybody, but, you know, I think Joaquin and Lauren are going to spearhead it. And, you know, pretty much I was like, ah, yeah, I was the biggest fans I mean, I'm sorry, I was the biggest fan ever already of all those guys. So, yeah, I mean, when I heard that their name was going to be connected to it, I was like, yeah, like, please sign me up for that. I will work for free. I mean, just kidding.
So how long was it before you actually got your hands on something and started really, you know, doing some work towards Voltron?
So we pretty much hit the ground running when we started in 2014, 2015. I can't remember exactly.
Okay.
It was one of those years. I think 2014, summer of 2014.
30th anniversary of Voltron.
Yes, happy 30th anniversary. That's wonderful. Yeah, we just kind of, as soon as we got in the door, we were doing pre-production and designing Voltron. You know, as you guys know, it was a huge undertaking and it was incredibly intimidating at first, actually, as we were essentially putting a new twist on a design that, you know, already had such a firm place in the hearts of fans like you guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, anytime a revamp happens, there's always that feeling of trepidation where you're like, oh, you know, please don't let this new design disappoint me.
Right.
So we really, you know, we really set off with the goal of making a Voltron for modern audiences that respected the source material as much as we could. Especially because the original design is so, you know, so great for Voltron and all the lions. You know, we all started off absolutely being like, hey, let's honor this.
What parts of the prop and the background design did you work on specifically for this show?
I was lucky enough to work on Voltron himself. Wow. And the lion designs.
Nice.
So I can say like, yay, you know, I was able to touch those. In the beginning, Joaquim, myself, and Ryu all did kind of initial sketches for Voltron. And then we reverse engineered the lions from that initial Voltron sketch to make sure that the final form, you know, was going to look great and not just kind of piecemealed together, you know, like taking, oh, like if we started with just like the five, you know, the five lions and we just stuck them into a man-shaped robot, we wanted to make sure that there was a flow there and it wasn't just sort of haphazardly put together. So my main task during the very beginning of pre-production was doing lots and lots of mechanical lion sketches.
Wow.
You know, I actually looked at your Tumblr page and I see that you do a lot of animal studies, you know, some, you know, digital artwork involving mm-hmm. animals, real animals. So how do you make that leap from very organic forms with flesh and musculature and all that stuff and tendons and everything that makes them what they are, living animals, and make that translation into something very mechanical that still has to be able to move in a fluid way?
Yeah, well, you know, I think the animal drawings and kind of the research, like, you know, that I had done on anatomy, like you were saying, like that came back to inform the mechanical side of things, which I think it kind of gives our lions an extra level of believability, you know. We also on the show, we looked at a lot of, you know, lion anatomy and, you know, breaking down the shapes, like what the lion actually looks like. From an anatomical point of view, making sure the joints were all going to work correctly and, you know, the way their paws are constructed, you know, so that when they walked, like it would really look like, you know, the heavy paws of a lion kind of coming up and down. And so as far as like bridging the gap, I think it was just really trial and error, a lot of trial and error. There, a lot of the early designs definitely, well, they looked a bit weird. So those will never see the light of day.
Okay, so when we had Tim and Mitch on, they had talked about, you know, how many times they have to go through a storyline. And the first time they come through a storyline, now, you know, we want you to take it from 90 different ways and tell us, you know, if you can do it 90 different ways from the way that you did it the first time. Do you have to come up with at least like 90 different designs every time you come up with something?
Not for every design that we do, especially with the production schedule. Sometimes we're not really given the like the leisure to do that. But yeah, definitely for Voltron, you know, for the original Paladins, for the Lions. So for the bigger stuff, that's more key to the story. Yeah, we absolutely went through tons of iterations. I mean, it was like, I just have Photoshop files on my computer that are like 00001 final 012.
Wow.
So yeah, we definitely went through a lot of iterations to kind of make sure that the Voltron and the Lions that we ended up with were kind of the, you know, the best versions of themselves.
When you design five of something, you know, we've got five lions. Now, obviously, two of them are similar in that they form legs. Two of them are similar, they form arms. Then you've got the large central lion. But you still have five lions. How do you go about visually distinguishing one from another? Obviously, color is one element, but, you know, the facial structures, you know, yellow lion's got those crazy lower teeth. And how do you come up with that stuff? And what informs each of those lions? What are you breathing into each individual lion? You know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah. You know what? It's so funny that you noticed. I'm so happy to hear you say that you noticed the teeth, because that's actually one of my favorite things about the yellow lion is his underbite. And for that, we actually looked at a lot of industrial construction vehicles during his design process. You know, and the teeth actually were, I think they were partially inspired by like the little claws on like a digger or a bulldozer. You know, they're kind of feeling like, you know, big and chunky, and speaks to his personality. You know, he's kind of a heavyweight, and, you know, Hunk's kind of, you know, got that same jawline. I like to think that, you know, Hunk and the yellow lion have similar jawlines. Mm-hmm. But as far as the rest of as far as going back to designing, like how, you know, we kind of started designing the lions, the very, very first iteration, we kind of did around where the lions were kind of each compared to, like, we were thinking like, hey, like if each of these lions was a car, like a vehicle that exists in real life, like what would this lion be like, you know? So, you know, for Keith and the red lion, we were thinking something really fast and agile, you know, maybe like a Lamborghini, like a sports car or something like that. You know, for the blue lion and Lance, like, you know, what kind of, you know, personality and characteristics does Lance have? Well, you know, he's kind of easygoing, and his lion, you know, he's fun. He's kind of an all around good guy. He's got a lion that, you know, has to form one of the legs. So maybe something a little bit bigger. So we're, you know, maybe like a pickup truck or something, you know, something like that. I think I can't remember all of them, but I think for the black lion, we had something like an American muscle car.
Oh, cool.
And then for Pidge, for the green lion, something kind of techie, like either, you know, one of those like Google self-driving cars or a smart car or like a Mini Cooper or something like that. But yeah, so that's, you know, that's one way that we tackled the different lions. And we also went through other ones too, kind of like comparing, you know, what they would look like all together. You know, we wanted their face shapes to be different, right? So, you know, a rectangle for the yellow lion, you know, compared to a more triangular, you know, sharp face for the red lion, stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, we have these lion patches that we got from New York Comic Con.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And they all have the lion heads. And then if you got the sixth patch, you got Voltron's head.
Very cool.
Did you have to confirm that those all matched and whenever something like that goes out from a marketing standpoint?
Yeah, we, I actually designed those patches. So,
oh, cool.
Right now, like, you guys have my patches.
We love them.
Yes. I'm so happy. Yeah. Like, our marketing team is really cool. And sometimes we get the opportunity to work together. So that's really a treat for us.
That's cool.
One other thing that you did was you were actually on Superfan Builds. With the Voltron Lion bikes.
Dude, weren't those things amazing?
They were.
Yes.
Yeah, it blew my mind. I was honestly like, you know, when I heard the pitch, like they were like, oh, we're going to make these lion bikes. I was like, oh, that's cool. You know, maybe I didn't know the extent that they were going to do them up. So I'm like, hey, take my money. I want one of those bikes.
So they were designed by the people at Funko. Did you have to work together with them to make sure that Green Lion looked like the Green Lion from the show and Black Lion looked like Black Lion?
No, actually, I didn't work together with them. I do know that I think that they had, you know, contact with DreamWorks, and DreamWorks sent them over some material, but it was a total surprise when I saw them. So that was awesome.
Okay.
That's cool.
Very on model, I might add. Very on model.
Okay. Very cool. Because we actually featured that story on our 68th podcast. So if you go to letsvoltron.com/68, you'll see the link to that. And we also have a picture of that on our podcast page. And we talked about that during that podcast.
Oh, cool. I'll have to give it a listen.
I was curious about the design of the Voltron robot itself. My first impression of Voltron when I finally saw an image that wasn't a vague silhouette against a sort of blue nebula background was it's Golion meets Gundam. You know,
yes.
What were some of the design influences in this new Voltron?
Well, definitely, like you said, you know, Gundam was a big one. All of us on the show are huge, huge fans of all the Japanese mecha franchises. So, yeah, we definitely drew a lot of inspiration from, you know, Gundams across many, many different series of Gundam. We looked at properties like Macross,
right.
You know, like Pat Labor, you know, all that good stuff. So, yeah, we were definitely influenced heavily by those awesome designs.
And let me just say, what we got in Voltron Legendary Defender is truly awesome. I mean, lions, the robot, all of it.
Thank you. You know, just to have, you know, our design mentioned in the same breath as all of, you know, Gundam and stuff, like, that's the best possible compliment that you could ever give us. I mean, we're just, it's awesome. Yeah, it's like, it's kind of unreal to be, you know, Voltron and Gundam and the same. It's like, okay, I'm going to stop talking now.
Do you have some of those models on your desk?
I do. Yes. I don't know if Mitch talked about it on the podcast with
you
guys.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. He sits in the office next to me. And usually what happens is I buy the model kits and he builds them for me. He's super amazing. And then I tear them apart again. not out of, you know, I just like to see what the inside workings are like, you know, how they put together the joints, you know, so like having the physical toy and being able to, you know, bend the joints and see how how the different parts of it work together is super useful from a design standpoint. So that's why I do it.
Cool.
That's very cool.
One of the things that each of the lions has also is like a symbol associated with that lion.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you design those symbols as well?
I did. Those actually came a little bit later, and they were a request, you know, from the marketing department. So they actually haven't played a big part in the show yet, so.
I was just wondering if they had specific meaning for each lion. Because there's the one symbol is actually on the shield that Green Lion holds.
Right. So that is, I think, a good question for Joachim and Lauren or the writers.
Okay.
I know it does. It will kind of come back, and I think you'll learn a little bit more about it later in the series. But I don't want to give anything away. So.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Now, as much as I dislike moving away from Voltron and the lions, I am curious about many of the other visual designs. For example,
sure.
the Paladin uniforms, the Bayards, the actual characters, and you know, Zarkon and Hagar, they look radically different than what we've seen before. So what were some of the inspirations for these other visual elements?
I think we did look back to the, you know, the original show and also kind of trying to update a lot of the source material. But again, I think since my area of expertise is really more in backgrounds and props, if you guys ever get a chance to talk to Christy Sang, who is the principal character designer, she would be able to kind of tell you more about the influences. For example, you know, the paladin, the armor that they wear. As far as the Bayards go, for example, like my husband, you know, when I told him like, oh yeah, I'm going to work on Voltron. He was like, oh, are you guys going to, you know, keep the key, that, you know, in the original Voltron, they all have to plug in the key in their, you know, in the console and turn it. And he was like, and I was like, well, kind of, we're taking that idea, but we're expanding upon it. So that's kind of where the Bayards came in. You know, we thought it might be cool to have, for each of the Paladins to have a weapon that actually also can work in activating their lions.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How about the Voltron blade compared to the original Blazing Sword?
Right.
Did you also design that?
Yes, yes. That was designed also, you know, during the same time period as Voltron himself was designed. And, you know, kind of like everything else in our show, you know, we wanted to give it a little bit of a modern twist.
Okay.
So that blade actually gets formed between the two lion heads, mm-hmm. the green and the red.
Mm-hmm.
And the one time in the last episode 11, the Black Paladin, it was actually used in one of the ships. Voltron smashed both hands into the ship and then formed the blade.
Yeah, I love that. I love that part.
That was just totally cool. And then, of course, it slices through the ship and the ship blows up, which is awesome.
Yeah, I think one of the parts that I really like about all the weapons in our show is that most of them are energy-based. So, you know, they're able to kind of be formed on command. And it just looks, you know, it just looks really cool on screen when that happens. You know, it's like, you know, like a lightsaber, except
right.
way bigger. And it can be different shapes and different sizes and stuff. So, yeah. So the same with the Bayards as well. They're able to kind of form those shapes.
So there's a certain kind of magic involved there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that kind of, you know, our show is all about kind of sci-fi mixed with magic, like science meets magic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that part of it. It also informed a lot of, you know, design. That principle also kind of carried over into designing the world that Voltron exists in.
Your title includes props and backgrounds, and so I was sort of wondering, sort of transitioning into that world, talking about the backgrounds. When you say a background, are you talking about an outdoor environment or an indoor environment, or say the interior of the castle ship, or all of the above, or how far does your reach extend?
Yeah, you know, I think it's kind of, you summed it up, like it's all of those things. Background is just kind of a general way to say any environment. So it can be interior, it can be exterior. One thing I really loved and that Joachim and Lauren really loved as well from the original series was the way, you know, kind of going back to that idea of, you know, they integrated a highly advanced technical design aesthetic with kind of a medieval fantasy one. And the castle ship is a great example of that from the original series. So when we were building our version of it, we tried really hard to make it look really slick and technological, but still retain elements of architecture that, mm-hmm. you know, looked ancient and castle-like without being too overtly medieval. So yeah, there was a lot of push and pull in the first few rounds of iterations for the castle ship where like some designs were looking too high tech and weren't telling any of the history behind this kind of ancient race, you know, the Altaians. And then we also had some designs that were just straight up like, you know, flying buttresses and barrel vaulted ceilings with just some glowing lights slapped on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one way is like kind of far, but you know, in the end, I think we found a really good blend. So we got some sci-fi, we got some medieval, best of both worlds.
I'm a huge fan of the Castle of Lions design from the original series. In fact, it's the one visual element that until Voltron Legendary Defender, I've never liked any revision or new approach to the design. I mean, I've always been open to Voltron and the Lions and everything else, but the original castle has always been just so iconic and amazing to me that it's something that the reinterpretations have never really done justice to until this new series.
I'm like sweating right now.
Oh, no. No, I mean, you know, the third dimension took the basic architecture and made it this stone thing, but it had the same geometry as the old design. Mm-hmm. And it just never sat well with me. As much as I love Voltron Force, the Castle of Lions, it looked sort of like, and I don't mean to insult anyone who worked on that show, but it didn't look like a very cohesive design to me. I mean, I like it. It's mm-hmm, cool. Mm-hmm. It serves its purpose, but it doesn't have that, you know, that look of authority. And this is a castle with history and all this other stuff.
And a giant Gary could destroy that castle.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Gary, yes. And then in Legendary Defender, as soon as I saw that thing on Eris with the cool stone bridges leading to it, and then, of course, when it flies away later, it just clicked with me as yes, this is a great new castle. I absolutely love it.
Well, thank you so much. We're so happy to hear you say that. You know, whew, big sigh of relief. You know, that was one of the very first. I mean, that when we were designing the castle ship, we were also establishing a lot of the design, you know, motifs, the design language that we would later use for all sorts of Altaian stuff. So yeah, for us, it was just as important because it was kind of setting the style up for, you know, this entire race of people that were going to play a huge role in our show.
Right, right. Like going back to Star Trek again, the Enterprise set the design standard for everything that followed from, mm-hmm. you know, the Federation in the Star Trek world. And yeah, I can see how the castle ship would be sort of the prototype for that. So I got another quick castle question. You know, when we see the Paladins in the control room and then they go off to their lions, we see the four pilots sort of enter these little hatches and, you know, descend in those, you know, hanging on the little bars like they did in the original show. But Shiro, he seems to stand on a platform that just descends. So is there a layout that has actually been mapped? I mean, where in the castle is all that stuff? Obviously it's designed to look cool, but is there a thought to where in the castle the various paladins are actually going from the control room?
That's a really good question. And yes, of course, we have it, you know, all blueprinted out here.
Of course.
I mean, we have a general idea of where they're going. The castle, when it turns into a ship, it has these four spires that kind of form, you know, the arm looking things on the ship. And each of the four lions outside of the Black Lion is there. Individual hangars are located in each of those four spires. And then in the heart of the castle ship, that's where the Black Lion hangar is. We do kind of have that laid out as far as how the hangars are orientated when the ship is in castle mode, like, you know, when it's on the ground and all the turrets are facing upwards. And then mm-hmm. also, you know, we were thinking, well, you know, when the ship takes off and it's cruising through space, and those spires are no longer vertical, but instead they're horizontal, we did have to kind of logic that out in the design. And we decided, okay, well, the platform that the lion stands on is actually on a gyroscope. And, you know, when it blasts off into space, it's able to rotate. And then the track that the paladins, you know, they kind of get in their speeders, and the speeders go to the bottom of the spires when it's in castle form, and then they're kind of taken up on this little elevator. Well, that same elevator track kind of forms a runway for the lion to shoot out into space when the ship is in horizontal ship orientation. I don't know if that made any sense at all. But
okay. Or when it's falling apart in a wormhole and all the lions fall out of their slots.
Right. Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. You're talking to a huge, not just Voltron dork, but Star Trek dork. And I read all those goofy technical manuals and all that. So
my God.
Yeah, so you're totally talking my language here.
Awesome.
Yeah, and let me say that I sincerely hope that at some point DreamWorks commissions a publisher to make an Art of Voltron Legendary Defender book. I would love to see concept sketches and your backgrounds, you know, shown, you know, in 2-page spreads and all this amazing stuff and the prop design.
Or blueprints.
Oh, yeah, all that stuff. That would be so cool.
Oh, we would love to put together an art book to show you guys all that stuff. You know, we're really proud of all the work, and yeah, that would be super fun.
I want to find out the workings of a particle barrier.
Yeah, well, it's it's quite technical, and I don't want to eat up too much of our time here together on this podcast by going into the nitty-gritty science with you guys. But rest assured, you know, there's a lot to read about.
Yes. So as we move into the props, obviously the one that stands out aside from the Bayards would be Rover.
Yes. Oh, we love Rover. We're all big Rover fans.
We love Rover too.
Yes. So who dreamt up Rover?
Rover was dreamt up by a very talented prop designer that we work with over at Studio Mir. I should mention that we kind of have a small in-house team here, and we're very, very lucky to work with Studio Mir in Korea, where a lot of our designers are. They're all super talented. We have a great working relationship with them, and we all usually work together from the concept phase, you know, all the way kind of to what you see on screen. So it was a designer over there that kind of prototyped Rover.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, we all love Rover.
Yeah, isn't it so, like, heartbreaking, you know, when, yeah.
I mean, who would have thought that a tetrahedron would evoke that much empathy? You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
That was a very sad moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think I shed a tear, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing. We just had our third anniversary show. We had a design done by an artist named Zilla, who did our third anniversary design. And one thing that we asked for was, could we have Rover?
Oh, that's so awesome. I didn't know there was such a Rover fan base out there. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Someone at New York Comic Con had a Rover as part of the cosplay, just sort of on a stick, basically. It's kind of a Rover kebab, and it was really cool.
A Rover kebab! That's the best. How about Beezer? A lot of us are big Beezer fans here in the crew as well. I mean,
Pidge went wild over Beezer.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I went wild over Beezer. Like, I'm kind of a big Beezer fanatic myself. So whenever we do, like, goofy little crew sketches and stuff, I'm always asking people to draw me Beezer. I'm like, yeah, draw me Beezer.
Beezer is great.
It was so funny in that one scene. They're all just sitting around outside of the ship, and they're talking in a circle, like, and in the background you see Pidge chasing Beezer around.
Absolutely. You know, one of my favorite things about Beezer is the way that his little, I mean, they're kind of ears, but they're like little nuggets on the top of his head. You know, they express so much emotion. Like when he, you know, when he's sad, like they droop down, and, you know, when he's excited, they're like kind of, you know, bunched up on the top of his head. And he's got, you know, his little legs, like, you know, he rockets around, and yeah, anyways, Beezer's the best.
So if you had to pick one of your personal designs or contributions to a design from Voltron Legendary Defender that stands out in your mind as one of the things that makes you most proud, what would it be?
Ooh, you know, that's really tough because I think, that's really tough.
It's like choosing from your children, right?
You're right, a little bit. Yeah, exactly. You know, they all have kind of a special place in my heart, but, you know, don't tell the other lions. But I think if I had to pick one, I would say the Blue Lion.
Ooh,
and the reason is not because, you know, he's like, It's mostly because, you know, what he represents personally to me. He was the first lion that we built. And so he was definitely, you know, we spent a lot of time finessing him. And it was on him that we figured out a lot of, you know, kind of design mistakes, or, you know, oh, this isn't going to work, or, hey, actually, you know, this, it looks really good and works really well in animation. Let's keep that feature for all the other. So, you know, he was just like our, you know, test guinea pig. And so I think I formed that real connection with him, you know, during that whole process. So yeah, Bluey. Yeah. My favorite.
That's cool. That's really cool.
I think among the lions, the yellow fellow is my favorite. Love those teeth.
Yay! I'm so glad to hear you say that. Yeah, I like. I think I like him. Oh, it's up there. Like, it's really close. Like, between him and the Blue Lion, it's like.
So now we have toys coming out. based on this show. What have you had any of these things in your hands? What is it like to see some of your design work at Walmart and Toys R Us? What's this like?
Yes. Oh my gosh. I was there at one of the first meetings where we saw the prototypes, and it was like incredible. Just so on the toys, they look, you know, so, so good. Especially, you know, the way that, you know, like the five different lions come together to form Voltron. Like it's just, yeah, it was mind blowing. Like the toys are incredibly on model. They're made, you know, they're constructed really, really well. I love them. I can't wait to get my hands on some. So I'm not sure, actually, exactly when they're coming, they're hitting shelves, quote unquote, but yeah, I can't wait. I love them. But the crew was, we actually worked on some of the marketing artwork, though, that's going to be on the package. Yeah, on the packaging. So that's really exciting.
That's cool.
We've seen some images of some of the packages, and I think my favorite element that I've seen across the packaging, aside from the overall color scheme and layout and all that, is there's a diagram on the back of the packages of each of the combining lions that shows kind of a front-on photograph of the robot with this highlighted area that says, you know, basically saying this lion forms this part of the robot. And it's, it's kind of cool. It's got the little, those little insignia that Mark was talking about, mm-hmm. you know, for each of the lions and all that. And it's just, the artwork just looks great. The overall package design looks great.
Oh, awesome. You know what? I don't know if I've actually seen that packaging yet. So I can't wait. I can't wait to check it out.
We haven't yet seen the toys in hand ourselves. Some people have begun seeing them on store shelves already. We haven't been so fortunate yet, but from the photos that we've seen, they look just amazing.
Yeah.
We have scoured every toy store in the 20-mile radius around my house and haven't seen one yet.
You know, somebody I think on our crew sent out an email to all of us. They're available, I believe, for pre-order on a couple of online websites. So yeah, I mean,
Voltron.com.
Oh, yeah. Really? Okay. Yeah, wow. Okay.
Yes. Yes, okay. And also on ToysRUs.com and Amazon. And,
oh man! All right, I'm super out of the loop.
Yeah. So yeah, the pre-order's no problem, but we actually have heard reports about actual store shelves having them.
Yep.
Oh, very cool. Well, I think, you know, I'm gonna drag my mom and dad to go with me, you know, to Target and be like, "Look, mom, like I did that."
Now, in reference to that, okay, not just toys, but how about all this fan art, fan fiction, cosplay stuff? How does that grab you?
Oh my gosh, we love it. Like, you know, usually in the mornings we all come in and we have a group, you know, kind of like a group chat or whatever, and people just post the latest, you know, Twitter, you know, photos from Twitter or Tumblr or like the latest news, you know, like there was like a Lego Kickstarter and, you know, we were all geeking out over that and, you know, backing it and whatnot. So we're super into it. Like we absolutely spend way too much time on the internet checking out all the fan stuff. Like I literally, before I got on this call with you guys, I was on Instagram and I saw the final two Robies designs Robies contest. And oh my gosh, they're both so cool. I was like, you know, honestly, like I want to vote, but gosh, I just don't know which one to vote for because they're both really, really, really cool. So yes, fan stuff, awesome. Cosplay, awesome. I actually really want to do some Voltron cosplay myself next year.
Oh, cool.
But yes, I'm a little intimidated by the level of professionalism some of the cosplayers that we saw from, you know, WonderCon and, I mean, Comic-Con.
Did you see the one from New York Comic-Con?
Did
you see Outlaw 2LK with his Voltron and his five paladins?
Yes, that was absolutely insane. And right now, I just want to say, you are the man. I mean, to that guy. Like, that was so freaking cool. In fact, like, yeah. Yeah, that guy's my hero. It was amazing. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know how you go about starting that process. You know, putting together that costume seems like more work than we actually did designing Voltron.
Wow. So you're saying you wouldn't put 300 hours into designing a Voltron?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we got to see him at the con, and of course his friends who were dressed in the Paladin outfits, and then we actually had him as a guest on the podcast, and he described a lot of the process, and he seemed very open and willing to share a lot of what he had learned, because he learned so much from what other people have shared online. So I almost, you know, at the end of the interview, I almost felt like maybe I could throw together something that wouldn't look, well, yeah, it would look bad. Let me be serious.
No, you should go for it. Go for it. You know, maybe start out with something small, like a Beezer. I mean, sorry, not a Beezer hat, a Rover hat. I was thinking about that.
Oh, there we go. You know, like a cheese little head or something.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, one of you can be good Rover and one of you can be bad. Well, bad Rover is a drone, but, you know, you could be, you know, one green, yeah, one red type of thing.
Ah, not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
All right, we'll give you full credit, of course.
No, okay. Yes, I will be eagerly scouring the internet for photos. So don't let me down, you guys.
And if you ever do a costume, let us know, and we'll post it on the podcast, of course.
Cool, yeah, definitely. I will definitely let you guys know. I thought about a Beezer costume. Also thought about maybe dressing and doing a costume of the Erusian version of myself.
Nice.
Yeah, that Erusian doesn't technically have a name, you know, or anything in the episodes, but on the crew, we lovingly refer to her as Arubian, because my last name is Bian, so it's like kind of a play on my name.
That's
get it?
Cool. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
We've had so much fun talking with you. Thank you so much for being on.
Yo, thank you guys. You know, thank you for running the Voltron podcast. And yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, and if you ever get a chance to come out to the cons, I know that DreamWorks Animation people have been there at like WonderCon San Diego and stuff like that. If you ever get out there, and you know we're going to be around, of course, if Voltron's being covered, we're going to be there.
Yeah, for sure. I would love to meet you guys in person. So, yes.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
You know, next year, I definitely plan on going to several cons. So, I'm sure I'll run into you guys.
That's great.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, thank you very much for joining us on Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast. And thank you for being the very first person from DreamWorks Animation from the animation side.
Yes, it's been an honor and a pleasure. And I wish you guys all the best. Go
Voltron.
Thank
you so much. Thank you, Christine.
Wow, Greg, that was just a great interview with Christine. And I have to say, you know, it is really cool that we've now got, in addition to the cast members from Voltron, the showrunners, the writers, now we have somebody who's actually on the animation side who does the designs of the props and the backgrounds and all that kind of stuff, works with Voltron and the Lions. And we had a really great discussion with Christine about all of that.
Yeah, wow, so cool. I mean, I love hearing how designs are made for animation or live action television or feature films. And it's so cool to get some insight into how some of these designs have come into being.
Yeah. And wow, just learning about how the different lions were designed and where they got their inspiration from, like you had mentioned about the Gundam, and they said something about Macross and other types of Japanese anime and stuff like that that inspired the new design of Voltron.
Yeah, I'm glad that they did look beyond Go Lion to bring something new and fresh and different.
Yeah, and they had also mentioned the fact that some of the lions were designed, they were thinking about different types of cars, like the Red Lion was a Lamborghini, and Yellow Lion was like a tank, and, you know, Blue Lion was like a pickup truck and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty cool that they took it from that perspective as well.
And I've long been curious about how they designed these lions to give them individual personalities, so to speak. And, you know, a lot of times in television series where you have characters and in vehicles, the vehicles tend to reflect the characters' personalities, as they often do in real life. And so it's pretty cool that they kind of drew on that analogy when designing the lions. I really like that.
Yeah. So we are hoping to get, you know, more people that have been involved with Voltron Legendary Defender and more people that you might get from the animation side. So we really appreciate Christine coming on. I know it's getting closer and closer to Christmas, and that was very, very nice of her to have her join us on Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast.
It was. Thank you again, Christine, for taking part and speaking with fans of Voltron.
For everybody who's listening to Let's Voltron, see if you can recognize this.
Form Voltron!
Yeah, those two words sound very, very familiar, Mark.
Yes, I think they do. And the thing about these toys, and what I'm playing with right now, is the Ultimate Voltron. This is not the one that combines together from the Legendary Lions. This is the already pre-formed Voltron. All right, so this will never come apart into the Lions, but it's about 14 inches tall, and it comes with its own blade, its own sword, and it has all these, you know, obviously sound effects and you know, vocal things that are going on. So we all know that this isn't the original actors from Voltron Legendary Defender. We've already talked to Jeff Trojan about this. You're not going to hear the original music, and you're not going to hear, you know, the original actors. So these are, you know, voices and everything that were recorded to go along with the show, but not the actual actors from the show.
Yeah, and this is not uncommon among toys that that talk. I've encountered this many times with many toy lines that are geared toward, people who buy toys, more typically.
Yeah.
But I will say that these toys are amazing. And, you know, we should probably share with the audience how you have an Ultimate Voltron with you right now.
Well, all these toys came to us courtesy of Jeff Trojan at Playmates Toys. We had him on our program about two episodes ago on the podcast, and he said he would provide us with some samples so that we could actually get them in our hands so we can describe them to the fans. And then also, we're actually going to create our own video reviews of all of these toys.
If you've checked out our YouTube channel, and if you haven't, you should. There have been some great one-on-one interviews that Mark in particular has conducted with various people who've worked on Voltron. And I was fortunate to be able to join him at New York Comic Con in October of this year to do some of that myself. There's some great content out there on the YouTube channel, and we're about to enter the toy field by shooting, as Mark said, our own video reviews of these all-new Voltron Legendary Defender toys by Playmates Toys.
Right. Some of the things that we've done before on the YouTube channel, as you mentioned, we had actually done a walkthrough of the Toynami booth at San Diego Comic-Con, which was really cool that one year, and we got to meet George Sohn.
Yeah, yeah. And so now we have toys in hand. Now, if you are an aficionado of watching toy video reviews on YouTube, you know, there are people who are literally paid to do this. We are not being paid to do this, but we are very grateful to Playmates Toys for providing these toys to us to conduct these reviews. So, you know, you're going to hear what we really think about these toys. And I will tell you, I have nothing but positive things to say about these toys. What have your thoughts been overall, Mark?
Well, let me think.
Lance, Hook, give me full reverse thrusters.
So you're playing with the toys as we record. I guess you like them.
Yeah, well, you know, there's lots of things to like about this, okay? First of all, they look and feel very durable. They look like the characters from the show, obviously. The paint is well done. The plastic is a solid plastic, you know, and the legs and the arms. Can you hear this?
Oh, those sound like ratchet joints.
Yeah, there's different things that you get when you're talking about feet and ankles and knees and arms and all that kind of stuff. So you're going to get it's pretty solidly built, though. So, you know, the Ultimate Voltron, you can put them into many different posable things. I mean, there's many different poses that you can do with them, and you can put them into flying mode, and the wings on the back go into different configurations, just like in the show.
Neat.
The blade fits into Red Lion's mouth perfectly, and it doesn't let go. It holds on tight. And then the Green Lion actually has a missile that you can put into its mouth, and it closes its mouth, but when you hit the button, can you hear that? Did you hear that?
I heard that. I think I heard Robies get knocked over too.
Yes. you put that missile into the mouth and it clicks in, and then you close the mouth, and then there's a button on the side of Green Lion that'll actually fire that missile. So that's pretty cool.
That's cool. Now we should clarify to listeners that each of us received our own stash of these toys to look at. So many of the items Mark has in front of him, I have not yet seen myself, and vice versa. So we each have a subset of the new toys that are just now beginning to show up on store shelves. So Mark, would it be a good idea for each of us to run down a list of what each of us got?
Sorry about that.
Yeah, sure you are.
There is a button on the back of these that you can actually turn off so that you don't have that happen every time you hit the button.
Or every time you're trying to record for the podcast.
Yeah.
I don't blame you a bit.
The first thing I mentioned that I have is the Ultimate Voltron. It has 15 plus phrases and sound effects, and it lights up. And it has, like, the Green Lion's lasers. They call it the lasers. That's the missile that comes out of the mouth.
Uh-huh.
And then it has the sword. It has ultimate posability, you know. So it says a bunch of things like form Voltron and let's cut the Galra down to size and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
That's my Ultimate Voltron. Now, remember that if you buy all of the five legendary lions, which are the large figures, mm-hmm. they combine to form an even bigger Voltron than this Ultimate Voltron.
Yeah, it's about 16 inches tall, right?
Right.
And each of us received three lions. So although neither of us can form the full Voltron from the legendary lions, each of us, again, through the generosity of Playmates Toys and Jeff Trojan, thank you. Each of us received a black lion. Each of us received an arm lion. I believe you had gotten red, Mark, and I've gotten green. And then each of us got a leg lion. So Mark got yellow lion and I've gotten blue lion.
There is one thing that I wanted to introduce to people on the podcast because it's a really cool feature. All right. When you get this black lion, it has the sound effects already built into it.
Uh-huh.
And there's many different ones, obviously.
Voltron is the only thing that can stop Zarkon.
Right?
Uh-huh.
But when you actually take one of the other legendary lions and you connect it to Black Lion, this is what it sounds like.
Red Lion, ready for battle. Good to have you back, Keith.
Did you hear that?
That's really cool.
And then what happens is if you let it sit for a little while and you don't combine the others.
Uh-huh.
Pinch, fire up the Green Lion. We're coming in hot.
Okay, that's funny. I love that.
Pitch, fire up the Green Lion.
So
coming in hot.
What it does is it talks to the other pilots and says, hey, we need you to connect to form Voltron.
Now, you know, back in the 90s when Pokemon came out, they had their whole advertising slogan was gotta catch 'em all. And what a great way to convince kids, to convince their parents to buy the other lions. You could say, well, look, I just connected the red lion to black lion, and it's waiting for the other three. Mommy, daddy, can you buy them for me? That's awesome.
Right. It's the toy itself is telling you, you've got to get the other people on this. Come on, let's go. We got to form Voltron.
That is funny. I love that. So, very quick story. When I was a kid, the Matchbox die-cast lions were very, very expensive. In 1984, Black Lion by itself was $25 to $30. And in 1984, that's a lot of money. And then each arm lion and leg lion were sold together, so you could get green and yellow together or red and blue together. Anyway, I bought my lions months and months apart. And so for many months, I had black, green, and yellow only. And I was carrying around this off-balance 3/5 Voltron for many, many months. And I can just imagine if 8-year-old me had these things and Shiro were constantly saying, hey, Blue Lion Pilot and Red Lion Pilot, where are you? I'd be feeling pretty guilty.
Yeah. One thing I like about how they did the sword with with this, all the legendary lions, you have to get Green Lion and Red Lion together to be able to form the sword, because each of their lions comes with a portion of the sword. And when you add those two pieces together, it forms the true sword, the true blade.
That's also very clever.
Yes.
And it's reminiscent of the Matty Collector Voltron lions from 2011. Voltron Defender of the Universe had an all-new set of lions by Mattel through their Matty Collector line. And each lion figure combination came with a portion of the Blazing Sword. And so by the time you had purchased all five lions, you could assemble the full Blazing Sword. But that one was in five pieces. This one is only in two. So,
right.
So it's not quite as guilt-inducing.
No, but the reason why it's the red and the green lions is because in the actual show, you can only form the sword by bringing together those two lion heads and making the sword.
Yeah, it's a really clever thing.
Yeah.
And yeah. So I am really thrilled with what I've seen. So you've mentioned having the Ultimate Voltron and Legendary Black and Red Lion and Yellow Lion. So what other great items did you get?
Okay, there's also those role-playing sets, and I got the Voltron face and the blade. So Lucas has already played with this. And it fits him perfectly, and he said it's kind of soft. He said he was expecting it to be hard, but it's actually kind of soft when you put it on.
Okay, now how old is Lucas for the benefit of our audience?
He's 13.
Awesome. You're never too old for toys.
That's right.
Obviously you and I are considerably older than 13.
He's not a big 13 though. He's kind of a small 13.
Okay.
So these fit his face perfectly, and he actually did have some fun playing with them.
That's cool.
Obviously, you know, if you're going to get the Voltron face and the sword, you want to fight a Robeast, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so were you the Robeast during that battle?
So I pretended to be a Robeast, and he, you know, slashed me across the middle and then down from top to bottom, and, you know, of course, you know it's over then.
Yeah, you fell apart and, okay, gotcha.
And exploded.
Wow. And somehow they stitched you back together. You're like Darth Maul from the Clone Wars, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
And then what else he did was, while he had the Voltron face and sword together, and you guys are probably going to see all this in the videos, but he also picked up Ultimate Voltron and had him flying around. So he was not only dressed like Voltron and had the sword, but he also was flying Voltron as he was doing that.
That is awesome.
It's greater even when you can combine these toys together and have a good time.
That is cool. So, and then what were the other items that you got from Playmates?
I have Mizax. That's the basic figure.
Uh-huh.
I have the Sword Attack Voltron.
Okay.
That's the same size as Mizax, so you can have Sword Attack Voltron fight against Mizax.
Very cool.
And then I also got the Yellow Lion basic figure.
Okay, cool. So what do you think about the basic lions versus the legendary lions? Obviously, the size is different and the basic ones don't combine. But as a toy, taken on its own, what do you think of it?
Well, here's the thing. Each of the basic lions has their own gimmick with it. Like my Yellow Lion has this, the back plate. When you move it up and down, it makes the arms and paws go up and down, so it's like an attack mode. You know, they call it the slashing attack for Yellow Lion.
Uh-huh.
It's a nice gimmick, but another nice thing about these basic lions as compared to the legendary lions,
uh-huh,
the legendary lions have the softer claws.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. Whereas these basic lions, they don't. They sort of, all the plastic's sort of the same, whether you're talking about the arm or the hands or the claws, they're all the same.
Yeah, I imagine that, you know, child safety regulations with toys have a lot to do with that. That's very interesting. Now, I'll go through the list of what I have, and I have to confess, I've not yet opened these toys because this weekend has been insanely busy. But I will be opening them very soon and beginning to shoot video reviews of these items. So what I received from the role-playing category were the Red Lion mask and blade. And this basically looks like the face of Red Lion and the blade looks like Keith's Bayard with the blade extended from it.
Right.
So that's a role-playing set. And I, like I said, everything I have is still in package, so I haven't run around like a silly person with a Red Lion face on, but I will. And and they look really neat. I also got the electronic talking sword, and the talking sword, it's definitely child size, so you're not going to be confused as with anyone who's got a real blazing sword, who would. But have a real one. But this is a really neat thing. It's got sounds and phrases. And it extends, as it's described on the box, it transforms from saber to cutlass. Now, I'm not a sword expert, but so I'll just say from a short sword to a long sword. And it looks really cool. So I can imagine really wanting one of these things when I was a little kid. And just looking at it now, it's a really slick, colorful design. I like it as as someone who's not supposed to be a kid.
Does it light up?
It does not.
Okay.
It has sound effects and some vocals, and it extends from the short sword to the long sword, but it does not light up. Let me play a couple of sounds very quickly.
Okay.
Let's do it. Keith, form sword. Let's cut the Gara down to size.
So that's just a sampling of them, but it's neat. And again, the voices are not those of the voice actors from the show. But again, you got to remember, these are toys geared toward, I mean, the target demographic is children. Now, we are children of all ages here on the podcast, and so we dig them too. But, you know, it costs a lot more money. There's a lot more legal loopholes to get through. You know, I mean, a lot more papers need signed and all that to get actual voice actors from the show to do voices for these toys. And I have to say that as toys, as items you play with and display, they're really, really nice. Yes, it would be cool to have Josh Keaton doing the voice of Shiro for Black Lion, but it is not a deal breaker. I think these are so cool on their own. It's a really nice to have, but it's certainly not a showstopper for me. How about you?
No, it's not. And here's the other great thing is batteries are included.
Yes, very cool. So yeah, I see you can play with them right in the box.
That's right.
Yeah, when you finally see these in stores, you can press the buttons to your heart's content right there at the store until they throw you out. So let me finish running down the list of the items that I have. So I mentioned the role play items. I also got from the basic figure assortment Mizax, like you did, Mark. I got Lion Attack Voltron, which is another fully formed Voltron figure that's the same size as Mizax. But in this case, the green lion head fires off like a projectile. And that's a really neat feature. It's reminiscent of many of the older Voltron toys with the lion heads that shoot off. And then I got the basic Black Lion. I want to mention something about this. It is neat. Now, it not only looks like the lion from the show, it's cute. I mean, I can imagine having a set of these on my desk at work and being fun conversation starters. I mean, you can't form Voltron with them, but the lions have really neat action gimmicks. And because they don't transform, the designs aren't compromised by that. You know, whenever you have a transforming toy, you have to alter things a bit to get them to actually transform in the real world. You can't rely on animation cheats and things like that to make the lions come together. These lions don't have any of those compromises, so they actually look a little more authentic to the show. And they're just fun. The action feature with this is much like the basic yellow lion that you described. The claws, the four legs will, you know, have this slashing motion. And that, for the black lion, is triggered by squeezing the wings together on the back of the lion. And it's just fun. I just love these little guys.
Yeah, the sword attack Voltron that I have, the way that it slashes the sword is if you squeeze the legs together.
I will tell you that, you know, as a toy junkie since I was a kid, these action features with the moving limbs that happen when you squeeze other limbs, or in this case with the black lion, the wings together, reminds me a lot of the very classic Superpowers toy line from the mid-1980s. Kenner made these DC Comics superhero figures. They were so cool, and they had very similar features where you would squeeze Superman's legs together and it would make his fists punch.
Yeah.
Yeah, these lions and all of these from this basic set remind me a lot of those old, awesome Superpowers toys. So I have to tell you that, you know, everybody's been talking about these legendary lions, and I'll mention something about them myself shortly. I love these basic figures too. I mean, the price point is lower, which is very appealing. They make you want to collect more. I think they look really nice. They look great on a shelf. They're fun to play with on their own. I mean, from what little I have through the packaging, they're really slick. I like the basic Lions quite a bit. I mean, more than I thought I would, I have to be frank.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You were talking about having, you know, these things on your desk in the office or something like that, and that you could actually pose each of the basic Lion figures together. And then here's the cool thing. Because they are at a lower price point, you don't have to choose. Like, I got the 30th anniversary Voltron on my desk at work, and it's something where you either have it in full Voltron mode or you have it broken apart into each of the individual Lions.
Right.
And you can't have it both at the same time because then you'd have to buy like two of them.
Yeah. And they're pretty pricey.
Right. So, I mean, you're talking $500 by then. So in this case, you can have all five Lions, and these are the basic Lions, and then you can have the Ultimate Voltron. Or you could have the Sword Attack Voltron or the Lion Attack Voltron. And you can have Mizax. And all of that still costs way less than one of the $250 ones.
Yeah, we're talking, of course, like that 30th anniversary.
Right.
Bottom line is, we've got toys at mass retail again. Yay!
Yes!
So you can buy lots of these things and not break the bank. So I will tell you, I plan to buy lots of these things and not break the bank.
And here's the other thing is a lot of people were saying, well, why didn't it come out in time for Christmas? Well, a lot of people are going to be receiving gift cards for Christmas. When do you go out and spend your gift cards?
After Christmas.
After Christmas. So when are these toys coming out?
After Christmas.
Right, January 1st. So as soon as January 1st happens, start spending those gift cards for Walmart, Toys R Us, Target, Amazon, wherever else you go and get gift cards. Use those gift cards, get your Voltron toys, because they'll be in the stores.
Yes, they will. And it's such an exciting thing. I really look forward to seeing the really cool displays at a store near me. So then moving on to finish up the list of the items that I received from Playmates. I got Legendary Black Lion, like you did, Legendary Green Lion, and Legendary Yellow Lion. And again, I've not opened them yet, but wow, they look so cool.
For these really big packages, right, like the Black Lion package and the Ultimate Voltron package, these are big boxes, okay? For the big boxes, they have a lot of things that people are going to have to know. If you're buying these for your children, be very careful when you open these boxes, because these ties on them that are held really tight to the toy in the box, and then they're taped on the back. So you have to remove the tape. You're probably going to want to cut with either a good knife or a good pair of scissors the plastic ties. But be very careful when you do this so that you don't damage any part of the Voltron pieces, okay?
Yeah.
You'll probably want to do this instead of having your kids do it because it's so tight. But once you get these things off, your kids are going to enjoy these things a lot.
Yeah, I appreciate the tip myself. I will tell you that when I purchased the Matty Collector Lions about 5 years ago, it took me 30 to 45 minutes to extract the lion from the box for that very reason. They got all the elastic bands in there and the ties and everything. And yeah, you got to be careful to protect your awesome toy. So yeah, I look forward to being very careful, but loving the end result.
It is much easier for the other toys, just so you know, the basic figures and even the other legendary lions other than Black Lion. It is easier to get those off. There's twist ties, and as long as you get all the twist ties done, you're done.
Okay, that's cool to know.
Yep.
I will say, side story, my daughter loves Barbie dolls. If I were to try to count how many she owns, I would probably lose my mind. But I will tell you that they package those things, even the cheap $10 ones. There's these little plastic things anchored into their heads, two of them that anchor them to the cardboard on the blister card or whatever they're packed in. They right. are a pain in the neck to get rid of, to cut off. And these, I imagine, are not quite so painful.
No. But just be very careful so you don't damage any of the goods.
Yeah. And one last point, I guess, about these, aside from the fact that we are going to be doing some video reviews of these very soon, is that if you're looking for these in stores, the Lions are sold separately. the red, green, blue, and yellow lions are part of a common assortment. So you're going to see those very likely on pegs. They're on blister cards, very large blister cards, but they are on blister cards sold separately. Black Lion is larger, it costs more, and it is in a box. And so it's very likely that you will see Black Lion displayed near the other four lions, but it's not going to be on the same sort of pegboard kind of thing that you'll see with the other four lions.
Right. And we've already seen people that have shown pictures of some of these where it was located near the other Playmates toys, like the TMNT toys. It's also been near Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. It's been near Pokemon. It's been near Ghostbusters and stuff like that. So if you look in those areas, you should be able to find Voltron Legendary Defender.
Yes, I very much look forward to seeing them probably after Jan 1 in my area. And I will be shooting some photos like the crazy geek that I am, because it is so exciting to see Voltron again at brick and mortar retail stores.
Yeah. Everybody who has been listening to the podcast, obviously we're excited to have these toys in our hands and be able to, you know, talk about them with you. If you get to see us as soon as we start releasing our video reviews of these on the YouTube channel, tell all your friends. You know, make sure that you send them to our YouTube channel so that they can see these video reviews. And then after January 1st, go out and get these.
Absolutely.
We will probably be even talking about these more in future episodes, just because they're fresh and they're new and everybody's going to be getting them in their hands and everybody's going to be playing with them. Everybody's going to be displaying them at work and at home and everything, and the kids are going to be playing with them. So, you know, if you guys get some opportunities to start messing with these toys and you want to talk about them, you know, send us some emails or Twitter or Facebook or anything like that, and let us know what you think of them. We are going to be having another contest pretty soon.
Yes.
And it involves the fans actually sharing something with us. So we will be announcing that in our first podcast of the new year after everybody starts getting their hands on some of these toys.
Yes, this is an awesome idea, purely from the head of Mark Morrell, and it's a really fun one.
Yeah, so, you know, it involves a little bit of retro stuff, so we kind of like that.
Yeah.
One other thing that I wanted to prepare people for the new year was that we had talked about in the past, in previous episodes, we had talked about not only having a Voltron fan spotlight, but also having a Voltron fan artist spotlight.
Yeah.
We would like to introduce that in 2017, and we're going to start doing that, and we already have our first artist lined up.
Very cool.
Speaking of the Voltron fan spotlight, we do have our Voltron fan spotlight for this episode.
Okay.
I'd like to cue that up for you right now. Is that okay?
Sounds great.
Let's go, Voltron fans! This is your Voltron Fan Spotlight.
Hi. My name is Doran. My Twitter URL is StriderIncident. A little bit about myself. I'm 20. I'm a bio major with biotechnology emphasis. And I actually cosplay Pidge. How did I get into Voltron, and did I watch any of the earlier shows? I had seen Lance fan art on Tumblr with Keith in the same photo set as a popular ship, and vaguely recalled watching one of the reboots on a Saturday morning as a kid. I saw some old clips of the show on YouTube and binge-watched the entire first season in one night. I also got my little brother into Voltron as well, and he's mad that I pulled him into a show with a cliffhanger. Do I have any ships? I do enjoy pretty much all the ships. I really, really love the fans' Pidge and Keith dynamic, despite the small amounts of actual talking in the show. I write fanfiction to inspire people to write their ships that they want, and other than Pidge Keith, I like Shear Lance or Chance and Hunk Lance or Hance. Those are my second faves. Hopes for future seasons? More of Pidge doing remote hacking. Like, I saw it in the actual comics, she can do that, and it's pretty freaking awesome. Hunk being even more awesome with his technical knowledge and skills would be awesome. Just more of those two. And I want to know what Keith's connection to Shiro is. But that's everybody's wish. My favorite episode? Probably the first episode, as well as the episode where Pidge has to save the other paladins. As well as the Castle of Lions from Sendak. I just really adore any episodes with a lot of Pidge action. Especially when Pidge, like, beats up Lance. Which lion would I pilot? I'd have to say the blue lion. I'm not good at close range, and I'm a very big fan of water. I'm also kind of the comedic humor for my team. And I'm being supposed to say, Shiro, Keith, Lance, Pidge, Hunk, Allura, Karan, Zarkon, Kerberos, Galra, Eris, Altea, Balmera, and Quintessence. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so that was Doran.
Thanks, Doran. That was awesome. Thanks for sharing your Voltron fandom with other fans. It was fun to hear that you have a biotech background. That sounds really exciting. I majored in physics and computer science back in the day. Go tech. Love it.
I would also like to see some more of that remote hacking by Pidge in future episodes.
Oh, yeah, that's the stuff. And yes, I love that in the comic book. And yeah, I'd like to see a lot more of that. Pidge is easily one of my favorite characters on the show for various reasons. And her being brains without being, you know, the stereotypical nerd is one of the reasons why. So yes, I would love to see more of that hacking stuff too.
Right. And if we maybe hope long enough, we should be able to get some of those interactions that Doran was hoping for.
Yeah, I think so too.
And we should get some more of that information about, you know, the relationship between Shiro and Keith. A lot of people are looking forward to hearing about that.
Yeah, and we are going to be getting so much of everything come January 20th, 2017, when Season 2 hits Netflix.
That's right, and it's getting closer and closer. We have something very, very special, because the cast of Voltron Legendary Defender has been very, very nice by appearing on this podcast and interviews at New York Comic Con and San Diego Comic Con and WonderCon and all those things. They've been very giving to the fans over Twitter and Facebook and all other places and stuff like that. So they wanted to give the Let's Voltron listeners a very special thank you. So we want to play that for you right now.
This is very cool.
Hey, Voltron fans, this is Josh.
Bex.
Jeremy.
Kimberly.
I'm Tyler. We just wanted to say thank you
for all the amazing support of Voltron Legendary Defender this year.
We couldn't ask for a better, more enthusiastic group of fans to have with us on this wild ride.
It's been an incredible year, and we can't wait for you all to see Season 2.
Thanks again!
Was that cool or what?
Yes, chills down the spine cool. Very cool. Thank you to everyone who took part in that.
I got to tell you, there may be some people wondering, well, where were the other people that are on the cast? Well, you know, when they get together, sometimes they don't have everybody in the recording studio at the same time. And we had talked to Andrea Romano about this, you know, and she loves to have her whole ensemble together, but sometimes that's just not possible with people's schedules and everything. So for the time that they recorded this for us, those were the people that were in the recording studio at the time. That does not mean that the people that weren't there aren't on the cast anymore, okay? So don't worry about that.
Right. Oh, my gosh. That was so awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who recorded that and to everyone who was there in spirit. What a fun gift to Voltron fans.
Yes, and we want to thank all of the Voltron fans for, you know, listening to this podcast, for joining us for as many of these podcast episodes as you have, and we look forward to many more podcast episodes in 2017, especially since we're kicking off in January 20th, with Season 2 of Voltron Legendary Defender. We will have plenty, plenty, plenty to talk about.
Yes, and of course, the toys hitting shelves January 1st. The trade paperback collecting the Lion Forge comics, I believe, also hitting in January.
Yes.
It is an exciting, super exciting time to be a Voltron fan, and thank you so much for letting Mark and me be part of your fandom experience.
Yeah, and we couldn't be happier, you know, as Voltron fans going into 2017 than we are right now with toys in our hands, season two coming up next month, Christmas coming, of course.
Yes.
And just the fact that, you know, we know that we're going to get a chance to talk to more people from Voltron Legendary Defender in 2017.
Yes, and I look forward to speaking with many more fellow Voltron fans. We've had so many wonderful fan guests on our podcast, and I look forward to that continuing. I look forward to the fan spotlights, the upcoming fan artist spotlights. What a wonderful way to connect with so many Voltron fans out there. I have never felt more connected to fellow Voltron fans than I have through this podcast. And it's an exciting journey, and I'm so glad that everyone who's been listening is a part of that journey with us. Thank you for that.
So we want to say Happy New Year from Let's Voltron, the official Voltron podcast, to all the Voltron fans all around the world.
Yes, absolutely.
So thank you.
And we'll see you next year on
Let's Voltron!